This month we've been looking at some of the questions that Jesus asked, and today we look at where are they? Has no one condemned you? And we'll be looking at it in its larger context. The reading today comes from chapter 8 of the Gospel of John. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees, it's kind of an odd thing to have them together. They didn't like one another, but they don't like Jesus' rising popularity. So here we have them on a common cause. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and making her stand before all of them, the scribes and the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They said this to test Jesus so that they might have some charge against him. This is a setup. They're not really concerned about the woman at all. They're trying to undermine Jesus, who again is getting a little bit too popular. Okay. Jesus bent down and wrote with a finger on the ground. And I don't know, I've been fascinated by this. I wonder what he was writing, don't you? I wonder what he was writing. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. When they kept questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And at once again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. Silence. And when the scribes and the Pharisees heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing with him. And Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'd like you to just use your imagination for a moment. Picture this scene. Jesus is teaching in the Jerusalem temple. The crowds are around listening to his thoughts. And all of a sudden, this teaching session is interrupted by a group of very angry men holding stones in their hands. And they're dragging this woman with them. This woman has been accused of adultery, and there's something kind of strange about this, because the other part of the equation is missing. The man isn't there. Again, this is a setup job, okay? And these angry men ask Jesus, you know, what about this woman? What do we do with her? Should we stone her? And Jesus is silent. He's writing in the sand. And again, it's fascinating. What do you think he was writing? You know, these are a bunch of jerks, or what was he writing? And he's silent. And this slows down some of the action, some of the tension. But these angry men, you know, force him. You know, come on, speak up, teacher. What's your thought on this? And Jesus looks up, he looks at their faces, and he says to them, "Let the person among you who is without sin be the first to throw the stone." And the response is interesting on behalf of these people. We're told that they drop their stones, they walk away, beginning with the eldest, the ones that have had the most life experience. They're the ones that leave first. And then Jesus says to the woman, you know, where are they? Is there no one here to accuse you? And she says, no. And then he says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. What do you make of this? I think one way into this, the very dramatic account, is to look at the response of the different people involved. First, we have the scribes and the Pharisees, these very angry men. And Jesus says to them, what? Let the person who is without sin be the first to cast the stone. Now, notice what Jesus has done here. They say, they are asking him a legal question. What should be done with this woman? But Jesus twists it around and takes the attention away from the woman and himself and tosses it back to them. Notice he takes a legal question and makes it a personal question. And he forces those men to look at themselves, to look at their own hypocrisy. And we were told it has its effect. They realize, you know, this moment of self-knowledge, self-awareness, that they've missed the mark. Now, in the scriptures, it's interesting. We've said it before, that the word sin comes from the world of sports. And my microphone has just dropped off. It comes from the world of sports, and it refers to an archer who aims and then shoots his arrow but misses the target. An athlete takes a javelin and throws it and misses his mark. It means you're off target, you've missed it. And Jesus is saying that these people, in their hypocrisy, have not lived up to the people God meant them to be. And our situation may not be exactly the same as theirs, but I suspect if we look at our own lives, at least at times, we might say the same is true of you and me. That somehow in our lives we've fallen short. We're not the way God really meant us to be. The scribes are drawn to a self-awareness. I've always liked an account I saw about Rolls-Royce, the president of Rolls-Royce, at a time when it was regarded as the best car in the world, was once asked by someone, does a Rolls-Royce ever break down? And the president said, my dear man, a Rolls-Royce never breaks down. But sometimes, temporarily, it fails to proceed. So the scribes and the Pharisees, and so sometimes maybe ourselves, that we quite haven't measured up maybe to what God had hoped we would be. That's the scribes and the Pharisees, these angry men locked in their hypocrisy. What about Jesus? What do we learn about him here when he says to the woman, you know, where are they? Does no one condemn you? Neither do I condemn you. And as you read the scriptures, I don't know if you've ever noticed how radical, how absolutely radical Jesus is in his compassion. This is not tit for tat, this is not eye for eye. Here we see a person of just tremendous mercy. Neither do I condemn you. Go your way. I was in Washington once and I heard a Catholic priest by the name of Walter Burkhart. And he put things very nicely. He said this. Remember, Jesus is sort of the window through which we see God's own heart. He says, is God unjust? What do you think? Is God unjust? And his answer is yes. Thank God. I, for one, am wonderfully content, he says, with a God who refuses to be just. If God dealt with me as all my deeds deserve, I would not merit to enjoy the fullness of life together. He's saying, if you took me just on my deeds with a just God, I'd never make heaven. Okay. But then he says this, if one day Christ summons me saying, come blessed of my Father, it will not be because God is just, but because God is good, a God whose name is mercy. Jesus, throughout his ministry, is a person of very radical mercy. And God is the same way. I think it was Sparky Anderson, if I remember right, he was with the Detroit Tigers at one point. And he said, grace is when you get something good that you don't deserve. Mercy is when you don't get the punishment you do deserve. Okay? Jesus, thank God, is a person of mercy and grace. Now, what about the woman? Jesus says to her, you know, neither do I condemn you. These guys have all gone. They haven't condemned you. I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. Again, that mercy. That statement, I think, that he makes, you know, go, sin no more, is a statement on which a new life can be built. It's a statement that the past doesn't have to keep us captive, it doesn't have to define us, it doesn't have to control us. New beginnings are possible. You can start again. And there may be some of us here this morning who need some kind of new beginning in our lives, some kind of new chance. Arnold Palmer, you know, was one of the great golfers of all time. He was sort of like Tiger. He did a lot for the game to make it popular. And at the golf course, at the Ranch Park Golf Course in Los Angeles, at the ninth hole, there's a plaque. Has anybody ever been there? The ninth hole at the Ranch Park Golf Course. And that plaque says, Arnold Palmer, voted the top athlete of the year and top golfer of the year, took a 12 on this hole. And his friends used to kid him that he made a 12 on a 4-par hole. Messed up. And he used to say, in response to his friends kidding him all the time, he said, you know, something like that, you just have to put behind you, you just have to continue on. But he said, there's one thing about golf. There's always the next shot. It may be a good one, it may be a bad one, but there's always the next shot. And I think our Christian outlook on life is very similar to that. New beginnings are possible. There is a second chance. We can change. And there can be new life. Let me put it another way. You know, I was out in Cleveland, in the Cleveland area for a while. And Bill Veeck, at one point, owned the Cleveland Indians. And this was at a time long in ways past, in days past, when the Cleveland Indians actually won the pennant and won the World Series. And then in the spring, in April, they lost their opening game. And the games after that, they lost. And one fan actually climbed a flagpole and said he wasn't coming down until the Indians won a game. And he was up there a long, long time. They were 11 losses and no wins. And Bill Veeck, who was a very flamboyant character, decided it was time to start the season all over again. They would have opening day all over again. And he hired a band, and they threw out the ball and went all through the rituals of opening day. And you know what happened? The Indians won that day. I think this account, again, shows us that new starts can be had, changes can take place. Now, it may be that, like that woman, we were in a corner. It might be that we're like the scribes and the Pharisees trying to box Jesus in and get him. But you have to watch Jesus, because you don't mess with him in a debate. If you read the scriptures, he's very sharp. He turns questions around. That woman had a new start, and I think that can be true in our lives, can't it? Even starting today, even starting this morning. Neither do I condemn you, said Jesus. Go and sin no more. A new life can be had.